So yeah, how about that San Diego Comic Con Fortress Maximus?
It's pointless. What's different about it?
It has all the Takara accessories.
And it has a white chest.
Well, the Takara one will have a gray chest. It's basically the Takara one with a little bit more color. And, you know, a fancier box.
And it still is like a misproportioned attempt at doing Fortress Maximus.
Because it's not fat?
It's not fat, and the head's way too big. It looks like it should be like one of those little miniaturized vinyl toys you see at bookstores now. Like a pop figure, a pop Fortress Maximus.
So what do you have? Do you have a G1 Fortress Maximus or just a Brave Maximus?
Just Brave Max.
Okay.
Because honestly, good enough.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know you had one version of the mold, at least. I just didn't remember which one.
When it comes to G1, basically, I'm sort of mold completionist. I don't really care about getting the correct variant as long as I get some version of the mold to play with.
Mm-hmm. I want to do some filming when I come visit with your Metroplex and your Brave Maximus.
Okay.
Because I don't have access to any of that stuff myself.
And you can show how new Fort Max is inferior.
Well, I have some
ideas. Fort Max, change your name. This is a very confusing conversation.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
This is also confusing.
Excellent.
Okay, from now on, Fort Max will be Fort Mick. And XV, you'll be McV.
Hey, McV?
No, that's my name.
So, what's Scott then?
Yeah.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. With Chris.
No!
Hey, Mickey.
Baby raping Nazi fucking Jesus.
Scott.
Since you guys like Voyager so much.
And Fort Max.
Hey!
And other assorted things on this episode of that one episode of Star Trek featuring Hey Mickey's stupid purchases.
Did you buy another Russian bride?
Well, they're three for a dollar.
In my experience, yeah, that's about right. Anyway.
But yeah, so what was it? Yesterday? Two days ago? It was yesterday, yes. I suddenly discovered that there are an entire line of Star Trek Mega Bloks. And they're out, like, now-ish.
On Amazon.
Yes, and Walmart.com.
Oh, okay.
But apparently these were announced, like, as far back as last fall.
Were they?
Yeah.
Because I would think I'd remember this.
Yeah. I saw a news post from 2015 talking about how Mega Bloks was announcing this new line.
Where was the news post at?
How would you guys hear about a toy line dealing with Star Trek? I mean, that's, you know, how would you hear about something like that?
Yeah, like at Toy Fair. I saw Mega Bloks news about their upcoming Destiny line. Nowhere did I hear anybody mention Star Trek anything.
No.
How? How in this day and age does a toy line make it past us?
I don't know. That is a good question.
Okay, but so here's the rub. For the 50th anniversary, it's all original series stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
In the fall, they're coming up with a 3,000-piece Enterprise set.
Holy crap.
And it looks beautiful.
Wait, is that the one I saw the video of?
Probably.
There is a 15-second video about it.
Yeah, you sent me a clip. Is that the one that has 3,000 pieces?
That's what he just said,
that's
Scott.
Well, I didn't know if there were different versions, like bigger ones, you know, come on.
Bigger ones that are also 3,000 pieces, since he specified 3,000 pieces when he started talking about it.
They could have been bigger 3,000 pieces.
Be nice. This is a joyous occasion, not time for bickering.
Excuse you, bickering is my joyous occasion. Have you met me?
Yes.
And you will again.
Ominous.
Yeah, I know.
But so the rest of the line, which is all out now on various reputable online retailers.
TFRadio.net/Amazon.
Whore.
Hey, I never do that on these shows. I mean, I think I'm allowed one every now and then.
Wait, but anyway, there's a lot of different sets, and they all look really good. Yeah. Oh my god, they all look good.
Well, let's start from the top and work our way down.
With your top or with the top of the line?
Yes.
Taking off that mesh shirt is going to be difficult, but we can manage.
Well, let's start with the most expensive work way down. So we start off with the big one is the bridge set, which is basically like you're looking through the view screen of the bridge set.
And I wish it had those front panels, though. Like, it's just the back half, isn't it?
Yeah, but it does have the turbo lift door, which is cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
And unlike most Lego sets or building block sets, not to make the Lego fans pissy, typically when you build half of a stage, it looks crappy.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this case. They got enough of it constructed that it looks solid and complete.
Nice.
Now, actually, what I think that would have been nice to have done is actually have the whole thing and have it slide apart like the actual set could.
Yeah. Like, just make all the sections modular.
Yeah.
No, there might be a building block issue of stability of doing it like that. Like, it wouldn't very well.
Okay, so, like, my experience is telling me, like, they could have, like, basically pizza slice-shaped base plates to use as the foundation for every section, and you just build, like, a whole console and rail section on top of each, and they can just kind of slide together and, like,
it's not like you'd really want to have the roof. Or have the ceiling.
No, what I'm saying is, like, Megabox designers could have decided that doing it that way would not lead to enough stability of where the pieces should be connected, you know, side by side.
Yeah, maybe.
That it wouldn't be satisfying to play with that way if the panels kept unaligning.
I hate when my panels unalign.
I know. Yeah, so
it's public, and it's just uncomfortable.
Next step down is the transporter room set, which looks great. It's not purple, though.
Aw.
Damn it.
But you can switch some panels around in it, and you get the Mirror Universe transporter set.
And then
you have a use for the figures it comes with of Mirror Universe Kirk and Spock.
Nice.
And a Scotty and mid-transporter accident.
Yeah.
Where he reabsorbed his own twin and gained about 200 pounds. Oh, wait, that was one of the movies. I'm sorry.
I thought that was this week's episode of Voyager.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Well, we'll get there.
Am I allowed to cry?
So I have ordered the transporter room set.
Oh, good.
Very cool.
And I've also ordered the next step down, the Klingon D7.
Nice.
Which comes with core. And it's a nice mid-grade-looking ship, which is what I want. Mm-hmm. I want a whole line of ships.
I just want, like, you know, figures. I mean, I want the transporter and the bridge, too, but, like, the figures are the main thing for me. But, man, that 3,000-piece Enterprise looks so nice.
It does. It does.
And there's also a Guardian Forever set and a engine room panel set.
Cool.
The engine room panel set is specifically supposed to be a scene from Day of the Dove. So you get a pair of Klingons and everybody has knives. Oh, man, are they doing a mock time set?
Oh, shit, yes. So I fully intend to use the Guardian Forever set to have, you know, Kirk and Spock interact with Ninja Turtles and Call of Duty Halo guys.
Yes.
Oh, I want to watch Twitter closely.
Send them to Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yes. But I want Spock to have nunchucks. I want Kirk to have the Kabong hammer from Halo.
Now, you know what you need to do?
There's rather a hammer punch.
Do you have the Krang's android body set in your house?
I do not.
So you need to get one of those and have Kirk and Spock piloting it.
Ooh.
Do you think you'll have that stuff by the time I visit?
It should be arriving tomorrow.
Ooh, nice.
Actually, I actually have, like, Kirk fighting giant android crying by punching it.
Yeah.
While kicking it.
Yeah. Do you have any of the Megablocks horses? You can have Kirk be riding.
Oh, then I need a Megablocks Picard for him to ride up to.
Well, you know, one of the red shirts in the Guardian of Forever set, the face on it has a certain resemblance to Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, so one of the nice things about all the figures is that there are duplicates of Kirk and shit going around. Mm-hmm. But they made sure that he's in a different costume than everyone. Like in the bridge set, he's got his green bathrobe shirt. And then the Guardian of Forever set, he's in his classic gold shirt. So
the other thing is, if
is there one with the torn shirt?
Not yet.
Oh no, your mind's going.
If these are built the same way the Assassin's Creed minifigures are, and to my knowledge, that's basically the most recent style of build, all the hair pieces will be removable. So,
my.
Well, yes. Immediate jokes aside, you could take some of your redundant Kirks and, you know, swap hair pieces around with them and try to pass them off as other things.
Oh, brilliant. Which is also the same technology used for his actual hairpiece, though. There's this little knob that just kind of clicks onto the top of his head.
How fantastic would it be to get, like, you know, movie-themed sets out of this, too? Classic movie, not current movies.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yep.
Now, well, I want the V'ger set.
20,000
pieces. The whole
pieces.
Thing. 1 trillion pieces, and it's a mile wide.
Sounds like a project for the next Star Trek convention.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not out busy getting laid, so they got plenty of time to build this.
No, I want a Star Trek IV set, which is the whale tank. Spock mm-hmm. swimming around inside it.
Megablocks whales.
Yes.
Which would also be with clip-compatible weaponry.
Mm-hmm. What kind of weapon would you give a whale?
Plasma sword.
Oh, okay. You've thought about this, haven't you?
Well, just imagine like a whale with 2 plasma swords at the end of each fin.
Oh,
reaching and like slicing like ships in half.
Do you remember
jumping and spinning, through the air?
Do you remember that mecha whales thing Giga Beetle found a couple years ago?
Oh yeah, it was great.
So they just need to like adapt that into Mega Blocks. That'd actually be kind of perfect for it too. They could start with one of those Halo exosuit things, just stick a whale in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried putting a horse in one of those. It's just not big enough, though. Oh, well, and the horse can't disassemble enough in the right way to just, like, have the horse head sticking out of it.
If only there's some way you could build a suit that worked around the horse.
That's crazy.
That's effort, though. I mean, what if we could put the horse inside Krang's android body? See, when David comes home, you need to encourage him to go buy Krang's android body.
Oh, that won't ever happen.
No?
David will not touch anything other than Lego brand.
Oh.
Like I'll keep trying to sneak like Megablock shit in there, like an accessory in somebody's hand, and he'll catch it, and he'll get mad at me.
Well, I know what I'm doing when I'm visiting next time.
And then he has to go wash his hands 12 times to get it off.
Okay, so what you do is you talk Ben into buying Krang's android body.
I think Ben already has Krang's android body.
Oh, snap.
Except no, it's not brain, he's not that
stomach,
tall.
It's just poop.
Besides, Ben's not tall enough. Yeah, those Star Trek Mega Blocks look ruinous for me.
Yeah, they look pretty cool, I gotta say.
But what you said was pretty accurate, though, what you're excited for.
Oh, the minifigures?
No, when they show up half price at Ross.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Because all Megablock stuff shows up at Ross.
Well, especially, like, really tightly focused collector stuff like that, yeah. You know, the Assassin's Creed line basically totally went nowhere but Ross. The Halo stuff does a little bit better, because it's Halo. But if the Star Trek stuff tries to go into, like, real stores and not just do online sales, yeah, I think it's going to be the same thing. The Terminator Megablocks line seems to have only ever been online only. I don't remember ever seeing those sets.
Stores.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So those probably won't ever go to Ross, unfortunately. Maybe Bargain Hunt, though.
So that's good Star Trek news of the week.
So one other minor thing, and I thought this was interesting because we never thought it would happen in the in STO, the Star Trek Online, they are actually going to be start putting in JJ-verse stuff into the game.
I'm curious as to how they worked out that contract.
Me too. I mean, I know in the story and the canon how they're doing it, but how they did it, because before, I mean, the STO is owned by CBS. It's all CBS canon stuff, and they hold the rights pretty severely, and they're very clear about what you can and can't do in the game, because the developers want to add all this cool stuff, you know, but CBS is like, no, and Paramount, they're all like, no, you gotta do it this way. And they always said, oh, we will never see JJ stuff, ever. We'll never see...
Because it's basically entirely owned by a different company, and there's different gaming rights for it.
Or right. Maybe not entirely, but at least not sufficiently under the same contracts.
Yeah.
Right, and it's just the weirdest thing that now...
I wouldn't say it weird. I would say the money happened.
Yeah, something happened. We no one expected it, though. So I thought that's kind of interesting.
Next thing you know, Spider-Man will start showing up in Marvel movie. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was super cool. I have no problem with it at all.
And there was a lot more of it than I expected, too.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Same.
Well, it was no Gods of Egypt, but I'll let it slide.
Why don't they put Spider-Man in Gods of Egypt?
Oh, shit.
Okay, so I know I'm going to regret asking this very shortly after I finish, but how are they incorporating the alternate universe stuff into Star Trek Online?
Yeah, okay. Isn't it like 100 years or more away from the timeline?
It is. So what they're doing is, but recently in STO, they've been kind of going over the temporal war kind of thing, and there's all this time travel kind of stuff. So that's why their new expansion is Agents of Yesterday. Basically, they're going to create this whole new faction that's going to be Kirk-era Star Trek. And you, if you create a new character in this expansion pack and that faction, you start off as just a regular person in the Kirk-era Star Trek, and then you get contacted by the temporal agents, and they go, hey, you know, people are messing with the time stream. We have to try to fix stuff. So then you get to go to the past, go to the future, and then eventually go to alternate timelines. So you get to explore everything in Star Trek by this mechanism.
Okay, so they're not trying to tie it into all one ongoing continuity. It's just going to be
Okay. No, it's
but there's already time travel involved. Get them back to the right time zone.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. and they're not trying. They're only doing what's already existent. So this is a different timeline, totally different. They know how it happened, but you know, it allows them to explore it and get into that content, which is nice.
Okay, that's fairly reasonable, actually.
It is that they're not doing anything crazy. They're not making any big statements.
It's also not painfully nerdy, which is what I was afraid of. But, you know, I was going to launch Scott into a 15-minute long lecture on all the...
But instead, no, it's just those
kind of boring,
guys.
Actually.
It's just those two guys from who were who think they were from the X-Files.
Yeah.
So there's not some Takara G1-related backpedaling going on.
No. They're all using existing canon, and none of it's going to be contradictory. It's going to fit very well with everything.
That's the benefit of an alternate universe.
Exactly. And it's cool because we had to go back and explore Kirk era stuff with all the new different ships, the ones we looked at last time.
The real question is, this is all Kirk's fault somehow, isn't it?
Oh, I hope so.
Well, the one question is Kirk is going to be mentioned and may even be in this expansion pack, but we don't know if he's going to look like Shatner because the actor's likeness may not be available. So we're going to see how that goes. Because they did get Chekhov, they got Scotty, they got like almost everybody except for
Chekhov's
Kirk.
Current likeness or his movie likeness?
The movie likeness. Them as actors, as characters in that time period.
But not how Chekhov looks like right now, today.
Which one? Because this could get real dark real quick.
That was kind of the point of it, Scott. You're...
Okay, I didn't know how sensitive you were going to be to it. No, he's not going to be smashed into a brick mailbox. So... Yeah, he'll
start in the background going Victor squish.
Yeah, no, he'll still be three dimensional and not like a greasy smear on a bumper. Is that dark enough?
All the delicate sensitivity you'd expect from this cast.
Hey, you set me up, motherfucker. And we're about to watch one of the most darkest, most disturbing episodes of Star Trek I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, well then, I should tell you about the other Neelix episode I watched today while I was laying on the couch, sick dazed.
Is it the one where he died and got revived with
Borg nanoprobes? Yes, it is. Jesus Christ, that episode is fucking dark.
Isn't it amazing how I knew exactly what you were talking about just by saying it was a Neelix episode?
Did that involve the one where he was... Now, was that the one where he was had confined to a bed because of...
No, that was a season 2 episode?
No, that was the one where he dies for like a full day, and 709 revives him back to life.
And then basically Neelix spends the whole rest of the episode having this like... existential crisis because he was dead for like 38 hours and didn't experience anything.
Basically what the episode tells you is there's no afterlife, there's no God, your beliefs are pointless, life is pointless, and the only thing stopping you from committing suicide is the need to be there for someone else.
Well, yeah, that is like the general consensus.
Yes. That is really dark for Star Trek. There was no hope in this episode. And it closes without hope.
Yeah, well, okay. Oh, my God.
But, yeah, and I will say, Voyager can occasionally do deep sci-fi well.
Oh, no. Voyager can do, like, good story concepts. Yeah. They're just all hamstrung by the cast they have performing them.
Yeah,
like with this episode.
Wait, I was going to say, with this episode, yeah, there is a lot of stuff. For once, it wasn't a problem with the writing. It was either just the cast or the direction.
I think it was just the writing of this one. The concept of this one is just fucked up.
Oh, it is. I'm just...
It can be fucked... You can have stuff that is written very well that is fucked up, and this was pretty good writing.
Yeah.
There
was one line of incomprehensible technobabble.
Right.
And it was at the beginning.
Right. But anyway, we should probably jump into this, because our month of hell starts here.
And you're coming along with us, people. You're coming along with us.
Thanks so much for this, Mickey.
Oh, I'm great.
So, Scott, you're doing the summary this week.
All right. Sounds good to me. Fair warning, I did watch this episode on my cell phone at work today.
Mickey, you're going to be doing fill-ins.
No. I have a state job. I could pay 100% attention to this. Your tax dollars at
work. I will say you wouldn't have... You definitely wouldn't have lost much in the video quality.
Well, no.
No. And I was still like going, oh my God, you know, during the whole thing. So we're about to hit play. But I can say, before we get started, this episode is another one of those where I was promised one thing and they did not give it to me. Now I'm very upset by the bait and switch, but we'll get to that.
Well, this should be interesting. So our episode is Tuvix, which is what, late season 2?
Yeah, episode 24.
Okay, 24.
Yeah. All right, we open up, and they are around apparently Endor. It's a planet with one biome, which is green. That happens.
But Endor is a moon.
Whatever. Not a planet. This is not a Star Wars podcast, you nerf herder. So anyway, back to what's important. So they want to get samples from these plants on this planet. So of course they send the two most highly qualified botanists in the crew.
No, they're not going to get samples. Janeway has decided that the plants on here are going to make good food. So she sends another to collect hamburger plants.
Now, how she figured this out?
The sensors told her. So actually,
the sensors say these organs taste just like grilled cheese sandwiches. You should probably pick some up.
So, okay.
I'm pausing.
The whole concept is these could be a food source or supplement or something. So, yeah, they're sending Neelix, the chef, to assess their food quality and sending Tuvok, who is established as a botanist, to establish that, you know, they won't kill everybody or whatever.
He's the tactical officer.
He's also a botanist as a hobby.
He's like 200 years old. He's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, he should be on every away team.
Yeah, that's funny that he is.
Well, that's because he's a tactical officer. So, of course.
See what I got to deal with. All right. So, anyway, so they're. Point being, they're down on this green sound stage picking up potted plants. And basically, Neelix is just being a dick going, "Wow, you sure are an asshole, Tuvok." And. Have you ever thought about not being an asshole? And Tuvok is like, no, this is part of my manly essence.
Absolutely.
Then I'll just pray for your death.
No, I like this beginning part for that. It makes both characters as unlikable as possible.
Yeah.
It's like they crank the volume of each of their personalities up to 11.
Mm-hmm. Neelix got his little squealy voice, and and then Tuvok is just being like, "I hate sunshine."
Tuvok suddenly forgets that he knows how to relate to people with emotions.
Yeah, right, even though he's been doing it for 100-something years.
Yeah. So I've never encountered emotions before. What is this nonsense?
Yeah. Explain this bullshit.
He's like right now Spock crossed with the Klingon.
Pretty much. God, that's why he has dark skin.
I think I have the Tuvok-Neelix interplay figured out. Like, for Tuvok's whole life, he's been around people who basically understand what Vulcans are and, you know, kind of give them some leeway, a little bit of space, you know. But a Vulcan's a perfectly new thing to Neelix, and he's just going to relate to him however the hell he wants to.
What is Neelix's species?
Talaxian?
Yeah.
Thank you. I could not remember for some reason. So Neelix, trying to relate to Tuvok, starts singing the song that was sung when Tuvok's dad died.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah. Which Tuvok very pointedly tells him that. That's a funeral dirge, you prick.
Yeah, but it was the most...
Well, it was the most cheerful Vulcan song in the library.
Right.
Well, I don't know what song we could sing in the forest. Row, row, row.
And they both beam back to the ship with beards. How did that happen? What the fuck? All right, so, okay, first plot hole.
Yes?
They already started talking about, we're having some sort of anomalies with the transporter system. Before they try to beam up, before anything is going on, Kim is already noticing that there's something wrong with the transporter. So Janeway's like, that's weird. Oh, well.
Use it anyway.
It should be fixed pretty soon.
It's not like we have, three more.
Yeah. So Kim is being helpful, I guess, and trying to tell the ensign what to do to fix the thing.
He's mansplaining to the ensign.
Well, I like to, he's all like, okay, adjust this and that and turn that knob this way. And then without testing any of it, it's like, okay, it's fine. Beam them back up.
Yeah, exactly. They don't run a diagnostic. They didn't do shit.
Well, it's Voyager. They solve things by technobabble.
No, but it's just like, he's fixing a transporter and he's literally eyeballing it.
The frame didn't really work, but the door will fit. Whatever, it's good. It's like that contractor's a little too cheap. So they start beaming up people on the planet, and lo and behold, we have a new character. Dipshit. I mean, Tuvok. Tulix? Tulips. No. Neevok? No.
You're spoiled a surprise.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so we're skipping past the intro. Unless anybody has anything fucking insightful to say.
Well, it's not. The thing is, when Tuvix first appears, what does Harry do? He pulls a gun on him.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of black, isn't it?
Meanwhile, the McKee, the violent one next to him, just sits around going like, what?
Huh? Yeah, well, that's weird. Yeah, they started calling an intruder on board.
I'm just never disappointed that we didn't get to watch them do the fusion dance.
Fusion? Ha!
Now, I will give props to this costume. It
looks
fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish they had
For something that's never going to be used again.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it probably was used again at some point and just, dyed a different color.
So it comes up, I'm Tuvok and I'm Neelix. And then the ensign's like, their patterns have merged. Yeah. And then he
there we go.
He decides that the logical thing is to go to the sick bay. Waka waka. I'm both characters, Herpader. So Janeway starts grilling him like, so you knew who all of us are, you know what's going on, and they, you know, quickly figure out that he's a fusion of these two people.
In case you missed the cold open.
Yeah.
You're just tuning in to UPN right now.
Right. So apparently these two species that existed on either side of the fucking galaxy have compatible DNA with no health side effects. You can just merge them. They're just like Lego bricks.
Oh, they came from the same progenitors.
Oh, I'm going to slap you.
Well, we don't know that those people got over to the Delta Quadrant.
Of course they did.
I mean, they could have.
So Janeway immediately is looking at this thing going, this thing must die. She okay, already has blood in her mind.
When you watch Janeway, picture her as the villain of the show.
She fucking is.
But in most Voyager episodes, that's kind of the role she plays.
Yeah. And when she's not, she's like the redeemable villain that like learns a lesson at the end of it and doesn't do the horrible thing. And this one, no one has the fucking balls to stop her. But we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. For the hilarious episode of Tuvix. Oh, God. All right, so she's still obsessed with, even though she has this new life form on board, she's like, you know, I'm still really kind of concerned about the plants. So we're going to send a shuttlecraft down there. Either that or she's thinking, like, if I can think of two crew members I really hate, but they have both have good qualities, I can mix them together, I'll transport them down next.
Yes, they've determined that the whole issue is that they grabbed some Transportium accidentis off the planet.
Oh, man. If you smoke that shit, woo! Sweet nugs, bro.
So the doctor says, okay, well, I'm going to start examining the data. Who could I pick to be most awkward around Tuvix? Kes, why don't you go take him for some thorough physical testing?
Yes. Make sure everything is... prod every new organ he has.
Count his holes.
Well, he's got three less than a Talaxian. Okay, so he starts being as Tuvix as possible by combining the two characters. I gotta say, I'm pretty pleased with the actor. He does a good job playing this character, I think.
He's a better actor than most of the cast.
I agree. He does a good job. I kind of miss him, honestly.
Yeah, that's another kind of rub. But just everyone seems to think that Tuvix is a better character than Tuvok and Neelix.
I am in that camp.
Yep.
Well, it's unanimous.
On heck, but a lot of the crew seem to think so too.
Yes.
Well, the world was united in favor of Tuvix.
I mean, like, not to get ahead of ourselves, but everybody thought that Tuvix was better at both jobs than either of the individual characters were.
Yep.
And his character is more interesting than either of those two characters.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Except for his hair. I don't like his natty hair.
Well, yeah.
Ugh.
I think he should have had, like, an afro or something.
An afro hawk?
No, no. Because he's only half Vulcan. It'd be a half-ro.
Oh, okay.
Goddamn, Scott.
So if you crossbred a Vulcan and a Talaxian, do you think this is what it would end up looking like?
Well, I think we have definitive proof.
Did.
Yes.
This is...
What more proof do you need?
I don't know. I think this is probably different than, you know, breeding them. This is like literal physical merging.
Well, this one doesn't have the psychological damage of being raised by the parents of two different races. Of having one Vulcan and one Talaxian parent.
See, that would make a great sitcom.
Yeah, the odd couple with a Talaxian and a Vulcan.
Yeah, do they live next door to that Klingon and... what's that? Can't remember the name. Quark's race.
Ferengi.
Yeah, Ferengi.
Oh, yes.
Well, yes, and the Vulcan parent's brother is a ship's counselor.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yes, Kes is, they're doing the physical examination. That's finally over with. Janeway comes down and is just totally at ease with this new life form, you know, just this new person. And he's basically like, I have been tested for like 2 days now. I got to get out and go do something. So can I get my job back?
Which one?
Exactly.
And the doctors, get him out of here, please.
Oh, my God. Best scene ever.
He's fine to go anywhere else in the ship but here.
The only thing that sequence was missing was the doctor saying, I've had to deactivate myself 5 times in the last 24 hours.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, yeah.
I like that he points out that not only is Neelix's ebullience irritating, but Tuvok is also irritating, too.
Uh-huh.
A computer, an AI, thinks Tuvok is annoying for being too logical and literal. Just say
not logical and literal for being superior.
Yes.
No, yes. The doctor's complaining about someone else being superior.
Yes. Yeah.
Holy shit. That's like... That'd be like, hey, Mickey complaining about someone being superior.
Please, no one's superior to me.
God, that guy's insufferable. Really, hey, Mickey? Oh, man. Yeah, I like how the doctor just butts in the conversation, too, to say this, too. He's like, he's in perfect health. Get him the hell out of here.
Well, it's not really butting in. It's in his... It's talking about his... This is his job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, in the conversation with him and Janeway, he just kind of goes, oh, no, he's fine. Get him out of here.
So Tuvix is like, I want to fire phasers again. And she's like, I'll put you in the kitchen for now.
Right.
Let's start like small.
He hugs the doctor and smiles at him creepily. He does look a little bit like a Mogwai, doesn't he?
I think he tells Janeway that you're pretty.
Yes, I would bone you with this Vulcan dick. Yeah, it's just a weird scene where he's like flirting with Janeway. And she just goes, ha, 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 flattery will get you nowhere. And then sashays away. This is such a weird episode. Oh, my God. We thought it was going to be so goofy. Oh, they merged two characters like in a sitcom.
Wait, when does that happen? What sitcom do you watch?
Oh, gosh. So now they're in the ready room, and they're discussing what went wrong. And they're trying to figure out when there's no malfunction. They still haven't figured out that it's the plant.
Sex!
Hardcore anal! I mean... Whoa. Of course, Cass immediately looks uncomfortable and kind of shifts in her chair, you know?
And Janeway's just outraged.
Yeah, I know. The looks on their faces is hilarious.
You can't say that word on Star Trek!
Yeah.
Oh, also, there's Chakotay. Remember, he's part of the show, too?
Who?
Where?
Sure.
I'm sorry, what?
There's Harry. There's a red shirt sitting next to him.
Yeah. There's Paris. Tom's there. He's the pilot. He needs to be in meetings like this because he's a scientist, whatever.
Yeah.
He's busy thinking about directing shows later on after he quits this.
Oh, just like Riker.
Yes.
So anyway, basically Tuvix is the one who figures out, oh, the plants did it. Because when you're in a matter stream in a transporter, chemical reactions can happen. What? That's not how any of this works.
Also, where'd the extra 80 kilograms of mass go when they got
that space?
Fused.
They're hanging out with Prime's trailer.
Hey, Roller, go get me a beer.
See, I think what should have happened this episode is they don't get merged into one character. They get merged into two different merged characters.
Ew.
So you'd have Tuvix and Nevok.
I think it'd be awesome if it was like a minotaur, like the top half, bottom half. Or a centaur where it's all of them put together like a centipede. No.
Would the minotaur just essentially be them sitting on the other shoulders while
yes.
wearing a trench coat?
Yes.
Yeah, it's gonna be Tuvok on top though, you know, with Neelix's bottom half. I like how Janeway just goes, well, that's the best story I've heard so far, so we'll go with that. It doesn't matter if it's true. We'll just go with it. Okay.
Well, it's like Janeway's experienced enough to know, like, that sounds like sufficient enough bullshit to be true in this show. We'll go with that one.
Yeah. Oh, but you can't go to the planet at night because of weather things.
You know, there's a whole other side of that planet where it's not night.
And I love that that has like no basis on anything. Like, we'll have to wait, go to the morning. Well, was time a factor here? No.
Yeah.
So, did Thomas need some dialogue?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why was that even like? Why was that a thing? Why was that written in? So Cass is sauntering down the hallways looking for meth. And Tuvix is like waiting shadily around a corner and goes, Cass.
He's waiting by her door to her quarters.
Yeah. Well, women like it when you're forward, you know. They're totally okay with that. So he's like, well, normally on Wednesdays I cook you this kind of food. And she's just kind of like backing up slowly, her eyes all wide and terrified.
Like, no, I don't eat food anymore. Aren't you hungry? Well, yes, but
I have with to, you.
I have to perm my hair.
So now I can friend zone both of you at once. So they go down to the mess hall, and there's like 16 ensigns, like drunk monkeys trying to figure out what a kitchen does.
They're like, I mean, that part makes sense because like. All the Starfleet personnel probably have never cooked food in their lives.
Oh, it's hilarious. They're like banging pots and pans together and grunting.
And the Maquis crew members probably only know cooking as far as, okay, get a metal cup, put something in it, and shoot a phaser at it until it's hot.
Right.
So now I'm picturing actual chimpanzees wearing little Starfleet uniforms.
That's horrible.
I'm sure there's a planet out there that that the Federation has let join. That's some kind of Planet of the Apes. Oh, wasn't that Earth all along?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure J.J. Abrams has something to do with it. What the twist? All right, so apparently it's been 16 hours because now it's dark inside the spaceship, which means it's nighttime. And Cass and Tuvix is, they're all cleaning up the kitchen and talking, and he's still flirting with her, trying to get in her pants. Her 3-year-old pants.
2-year-old, actually, at this point.
Well, aren't we just keeping track?
I just remember because even back when the show was new, I thought it was creepy that she was apparently only, like, barely a year old and already Neelix's girlfriend when the show started.
Yeah, well, gotta get them when they're young and raise them right.
I always just interpreted that they mature mentally as quickly as they do physically as well.
Well, probably, but still, it's weird.
Yeah, that's not funny, though, so shut up.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
So first of all, shut up. Second of all...
Look, we're talking about how pedantic Neelix is.
Yes.
That just dawned on me.
Oh, okay.
So this is the first instance where Tuvix is far superior to both characters combined. So there's some sort of scan.
Because his cooking is actually good.
His cooking is better. He's doing this complicated scan that was going to take 10 days, and he gets it done in like half an hour.
Well, I just want to point out that the way his cooking got better is he made the food bland.
Because it was too spicy.
Yeah, that was Tuvok's contribution to cooking is, we need to tone down this flavor bullshit.
Well, because Neelix made it too spicy. So the mix of them, you know, they...
And yeah. Tuvok prefers the Vulcan water soup.
No, that's plumic. Yeah.
Which is basically just water with rock in it?
I think so, yeah. Volcanic rock. Oh, and I think they sprinkle some desert dust on top, too, to give it some extra kick. All right, so we're back down on Planet Soundstage, and they're pulling these plants out of one container. I guess they got them from the ship. And they're putting the two plants together with the third plant that is native to the planet, the one that they suspect is the thing that caused the merge. I'm not going to try to even pronounce some of the technobabble terms we're using.
those are just flower names.
Orchid. What the hell's an orchid, guys?
That was that fighter in Killer Instinct, the one with the butt.
Oh, yes. Yes. The one with the perpetually cold nipples.
So here, since we see Paris and B'Elanna squatting next to each other fairly close, that's when they first started shipping them together.
I honestly thought that they were already like going to do something with that. Because I forget where this episode was in the seasons. And I thought there were already a couple, but I guess not.
Okay, so, we talked earlier about why they sent the tactical officer and the cook down to do the planetary survey the first time.
So,
I can kind of get why Paris is there, because he probably flew the shuttle. Why'd they send the engineer?
That's a really fucking good question.
Okay, would you trust Harry to do anything?
No.
If they sent Harry down there, he would turn into a plant. Or he'd fall in love with a female plant.
No. Harry would get pregnant by a female plant.
No, if it was female, it wouldn't have sex with him.
It would have been a male plant that inseminated him, and now his spores growing out of his scalp or something.
Yeah.
They could have sent Kes, because in this, she's actually kind of competent.
Or they could have sent Chakotay because his Native
See,
American...
See, but no, if they sent Kes, they couldn't have kept her with Tuvix.
No, see, they could have sent Chakotay down and had his Native American wisdom be useful.
No, because they couldn't tell the difference between one of the plants and him. Is that a tree or Chakotay? I don't know. They have the same level of personality. We don't know.
How about Janeway? She's good at everything.
Or how about this?
The tree is probably less wooden than Chakotay.
Or how about this? Because they're in the 24th fucking century, they could have just beamed down the plants and then beamed up all three without anybody going down there. How about that? Idiots.
If the whole premise of this show wasn't about them being stranded so far away they can't get replacement crew members, they should just send down a couple red shirts and, had them beam up carrying one of the plants and just kind of experimented that way.
Yeah, one of my problems with Star Trek is there's no robots. There's a few androids, but no robots. But anyway, so they beam up the plants, and lo and behold, the three plants have now fused into one perfectly. And they've apparently had over 100 attempts of it, as the doctor mentions. And every time they try to decouple them, though, it just kills the plant. Because of technobabble. So basically, it's like trying to unscramble eggs or try to take the flour, eggs, and water out of a cake after you've baked it. Thank you for the dumbing down.
It's like putting too much air in a balloon.
Yeah, that thing's got to have an exhaust pipe. Shut up. So then Tuvix is like, so I'm just going to be this way forever? And the doctor's like, he still manages to get like a Trumpian self-congratulation into his bad news, which is, even though I'm a brilliant doctor, it will still take a long time. I love that.
But don't have any hope, but I'll solve this. But don't get your hopes up.
He's kind of like a Dr. Zoidberg right now.
Let's all take a moment to imagine Picardo crab walking.
So Kes is suitably confused with her mouth gaping open and as a fly goes into it. Shut your mouth, dear. Flies are getting in. So trying to concentrate on how to learn how to close her mouth in a scene, she is in her room meditating when Tuvix comes in, creepily in the shadows again. And
hello,
she looks
sweetie.
Yeah, she looks horrified. Yeah, hello, sweetie. She looks terrified.
Wouldn't you be, though?
Yeah. So he comes in and goes, oh, so you're mourning the death of the two people I am. That's not bad. Okay, sure. It doesn't hurt my feelings. So she's like, oh, if I lost Neelix, Tuvix would be the first one to comfort me. Or Tuvok. And if I lost Tuvok, then Neelix would be the first one to comfort me. Which is kind of weird. It's kind of like, oh, so you're playing both of them?
I think you're stretching a bit there. I mean,
yeah.
It seemed a little bit too like, I've got both of you guys wrapped around my finger, and it's just weird that now you're the same person.
Well, no, it's just like Tuvok is her teacher.
Yeah, I know.
Not in a creepy sense, actually, literally.
She's lost her entire support staff.
Yeah.
Right. So, anywho. So he comes in and is just like, we've only known you for a few days. I still love you. And Kes is like, what about Tuvok's wife, T'Pel? And he's like, oh, no, I love her too. Don't worry about that. I got enough love to go around.
Kes is like, polygamy, no!
Yeah, space polygamy. So, blah, 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 blah. I carry Tuvok's love for her inside me, which sounds kind of gross. And then what I don't understand is Kes is like, how can you talk this way? And he's like, really? You don't get it? I'm two people in one? I mean, I thought this was established. How can you not get this?
It's a pretty simple concept here, honey.
Yeah, really?
Get up speed.
Christ, it's a good thing you're cute. Man, it's a good thing you're still perky, because otherwise, Jesus.
But maybe do some of your hair to hide those ears.
So he's like, so she asks him to leave, basically. You're freaking me out. Blah, 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 blah. He's got all these emotions, and he's emoting.
But he leaves, but and says, I'll be there for you when the rain starts to fall.
Yeah, and then they go play in a fountain, and boy, that's Friends. Up-a-da-pa-da. Commercial break.
Or it could be Zoojer.
So, go on, episode.
Shots of Kes wandering around being confused.
Well, high on meth. And, oh, this part's weird. So she goes up to Janeway's door in the middle of the night. Janeway comes out like in a silk bathrobe with her hair down that apparently has grown 6 feet in the last 2 hours.
It's very advanced hairstyling technology in the 24th century.
Mm-hmm,
what Janeway is not saying is she's about to go to the holodeck for a romance novel cover shoot.
Right.
It's going to be like Fabio behind her and the wind's going to be blowing.
Right.
No, I think she's playing the part of Fabio.
Well, that hair, yeah. So this is what she does when she's in her off hours. She's laying around her bathrobe with her hair down, reading Tuvok's old science reports and imagining his voice. Anybody else find that weird?
800 hours, I raised shields and did a security check. Okay, 3,800 hours, I did another security check. Oh, Tuvok.
Yeah, so precise, so efficient.
It's thoughtful that he wrote down all this bullshit for me to read when he turned into Tuvix. He knew I need to hear his voice.
Yeah.
In print.
So Kes goes to Janeway to look for humanity because apparently Ocampans don't know what it means to have humanity. Though the soft filters come out on this, which I appreciate. I mean, Janeway looks like fucking Barbara Walters. I thought my contacts were drying out watching this scene.
This scene of Voyager was filmed by an N64.
With a smear of Vaseline on the lens. Jesus.
So it's the old Cougar Masters then.
Yes.
Filmed on only the best scotch tape.
Yeah.
So Kes was explaining her problems, and Jane was like, oh yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. This is what we've all been going through. Welcome to the club, honey.
Yeah, exactly. We're all missing dick from the other side of the galaxy. And, you know, you might have to deal with the fact that you may not never get that dick again.
Yeah, Jimmy says, you know, I'll sometimes have to deal with the fact that, you know, Mark won't be there for me anymore. And I'm mentally fast-forwarding to the episode where she gets the letter that says he dumped her and married someone else.
Yep.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. Oh, you're going to get it good.
It's gonna be his replicator is gonna make boiled rabbit every day for the rest of his life, and he won't know why.
That's several that episode where they get all their letters from home, and like she gets the only unpleasant one.
Yeah,
well, actually, I guess Galana said all of her friends are dead too, but
right,
it's McKee. Who cares about McKee?
So I'm gonna have to accept that he's not part of my life anymore. So okay, so Kes is. Okay, well, I guess I'll just deal with the fact that Neelix is gone. Okay, whatever.
And then Jane was like, whoa, hold up. Don't give up hope. You can't suffer if you give up hope.
Right. Just give it time and suffer some more. Your delicious, delicious suffering of your young innocence.
We've all been through it.
So and look at us. Kes smiles, nods her, and says, thanks, Captain. This was all bullshit and pointless. Good night.
And then gives her the longest, most uncomfortable hug that just doesn't quite end.
And then as she moves away, Janeway like, sort of slides her hands across her hips, and it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I guess that Kate Mulgrew was like, okay, thanks. I don't have any meth in my pocket. Stop looking. Okay. Stop patting me down. All right. So it's been 2 weeks.
Okay.
Tuvix has been alive for 2 weeks. He's setting up his quarters. He's getting friendly with the crew. He's totally, like, you know, settling in and, you know, being a person. Look at that.
Yeah, something I've noticed about Voyager here, that it does something that no other Star Trek show does. Mm. You don't have a large passage of time in the middle of the episode or between episodes. Like, next thing, they had, like, a 2 week gap in the middle of the episode in storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Voyager will have, like, a 2 year gap in between episodes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
It's so much easier to have to write it, though.
There's at least one episode of Next Generation that had, like, a month pass in the course of an episode.
Cause and effect?
No, that's not really what I was thinking of. I suppose technically, yes.
Wasn't that hours?
No, cause and effect was 18 days.
Okay.
Yep.
But yes, you're right. It's very uncommon in most Star Trek series.
True. They have time to kill in this. They got 70,000 light years to go, so.
Yeah, I assume that's basically the logic. There's not really any hurry in the, you know.
Right. They're just traveling through empty, dead space.
Uh-huh.
So we can see this nice little medley, this nice little,
We're going to need a montage.
Yeah. We montage the fuck out of this. And we show him cooking and talking to Janeway and, ha, 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 I'm so funny.
Yes, and this is when we get to the part where everybody likes Tuvix better than Tuvok and Neelix combined.
Yes, and it only took 2 weeks, so let that be a lesson, people. You're easily replaceable in 2 weeks. Nobody will remember or care about you. XV.
Yeah, just like Talden and, what's his name?
The other one.
Yeah.
Oil.
So, all right, Oil.
So Kim is in his quarters playing the recorder, because that's his only hobby that he has from in fifth grade. What a loser.
Well, I don't know. He also has a sax back there.
He ain't playing it. He's trying to work his way up to that level.
I'm saying clearly playing the clarinet is not his only hobby.
That's a recorder and you know it.
No, it's a clarinet. I played clarinet until I switched to bass clarinet in middle school.
Isn't that still a clarinet?
Bass clarinet is the funkier version of the clarinet.
So, like, he gets a message from the doctors like, you need to pick up on the medical channel. And Ken just looks like, ugh.
You're already contacting me over audio.
Right. Why do I need
to look at me?
Yeah, why do I need to see your stupid bald face? How does this help any? And I like how he's just completely not excited. He's not curious. The actor just walks over, presses a fake button, and fakes talks to it.
Well, there isn't really a reason to be excited. You're having to stop what you're doing and go over for something that you know clearly could have been done just over how he was already contacting you.
You know, right, I've got to admit, I really do kind of empathize with Kim here because that happens to me on a weekly basis. On my day off, work will call me. What's the password to the iTunes? Hit the forgot password button. That's what it's there for. Don't bother me. I'm playing clarinet.
That's
certainly a euphemism, isn't it?
That's a bone flute. That's a little different.
It's a bassoon, I'll have you know.
Ooh, a meat bassoon. Be sure to hit those low notes.
You should see the spit valve.
Saucer. So we go to the, apparently, I hope this is the holodeck. Either that or Chakotay really did a number on his quarters. So it's like an Alpine Lodge with a pool table?
It's an English pub.
Is it English pub? Okay.
Yeah.
I see way too many teeth in here, so I was confused.
It's future English.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have most of their teeth.
Oh, and this is, in England, they have all their teeth. They're just crooked. You're thinking of southern U.S.
Oh, yes, Alabama, my bad. So Neelix, Tuvix, rather, sorry. Tuvix is beating the crap out of everybody at pool because
he's better at everything than everybody.
Right, which actually is less endearing than one might think because everyone doesn't like playing with him now.
Mary Suvix.
Well, I don't know. Yes. He's not the best.
Nice.
Grim Reaper and best 3 out of 5.
Yes, damn right. All right, so I got to pause because we all skipped that scene. So Kes comes in and is basically like, I haven't talked to you for like 2 weeks because I'm a little confused. But you know what? I miss the dick too much. Let's get to know each other. And which Tuvix is like, okay, sure. Let's see where this goes. So there's that little emotional breakthrough of the character. So, all right, great. Everyone's accepting that Tuvix is real and is going to stick around. And he says, I'm not going anywhere.
Nine, of course. There are two people with who have contracts.
Yeah, the Screen Actors Guild will frown upon this. Okay, so
it's almost the end of the season. They could have kept Tuvix and just had Neelix and Tuvok appear in like flashbacks for the next 2 episodes.
Oh, they could have kept all 3.
Oh God, that'd have been awesome. Oh, why didn't they do that?
Neelix would insist that he and Tuvok act like Tuvix's dads.
That would have been awesome. Oh my God, can you imagine?
Gee, if only there was some way that we could get 2 Tuvixes so one could be split apart.
Yeah. Well, we know how to replicate people using transporters. That happened to Riker, so fuck it. Let's do it.
That's exactly what I was going towards.
Yeah. I'm on board. All right, so we're down in the sick bay, and the doctor is kind of like, those primitive monkeys on Earth 200 years ago used barium to detect things with x-rays and people's guts. So we've done the same thing, but using technobabble. Captain's like, tell me more.
This makes zero sense at all.
Yes.
So we rub magic radiation and you get spider powers on you.
So we're going to inject him full of super soldier serum and...
And then Shazam, right. You're separate. Isn't that great?
So, yeah, so Kim helpfully pulls out these 2 flowers and goes, see how these 2 flowers are now separate and the 3rd one is just gone, just dead to the world and no one will ever see again? Doesn't that make everybody happy? So everyone's like, yeah, that's wonderful. And then everyone looks at Tuvix, it's like, isn't that wonderful? And he's like, oh, shit. Not so good. And then he just says, I don't want to die, and stares at Janeway, who just stares at him emotionless.
No, she's staring
and
at him.
And he knows Janeway.
Uh-huh. Janeway gives him the fuck you stare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I cannot wait to kill this motherfucker. I have been wearing my pink bathrobe, going to holodeck programs, fantasizing about killing this guy. So,
she finally has a reason to get. She's finally going to be able to kill a crew member that she can get away with killing.
She has waited for 20,000 light years to figure out a way to kill someone in her own crew and it be okay. So yeah, you're right. She's finally found a way.
No, this is only season 2. They've barely made it like 1,000 light years at this point.
Yeah.
This is the point where the episode actually becomes kind of interesting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It becomes Star Trek a moral quandary.
This is the point where the episode becomes the episode it's supposed to be now that it's done doing the 40 minutes of build-up to make you care.
Agreed. So we get the last 12 minutes of Star Trek goodness. Well, this is a good point. So at this point, we're thinking, oh, he doesn't want to die. He's Tuvix. He has his own life and everything. But he realizes internally that 2 people can live instead of just 1. And the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And Tuvok knows this. And Neelix feels this inside of Tuvix. So he sacrifices himself bravely and nobly so the 2 people can live. That's what's supposed to happen. Right, Star Trek?
Yeah, that was Janeway's fanfic about it.
No, that's what Star Trek would do. Star Trek would make the character sacrifice himself in a noble way. We get our characters back and everyone would be happy. But that's not what happened. That is not what happened.
But that wouldn't be interesting. That's if it was just that, it would just be another boring episode of Voyager.
Yes, or TNG. Something TNG would do.
Well, TNG would do it, but it'd be better acted.
Well, obviously. That goes without saying, man. Come on. All right, so we're in the Janeway's ready room, and she's having this little heart-to-heart with, I think, what, Chakotay? Is that who she's talking to for some reason? So for some reason, she's talking to... Yeah, there's some character in a red shirt that she's, like, bouncing ideas off of. And so she says, like, well, he's his own person. He's got friends. If this would happen 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't thought about it. I would have just turned him back into Tupac and Neelix. No big deal. But now she's like, now he's his own person.
And his food is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and he is...
Anyway, specifically setting up, like, if this happened earlier, it would be a problem. But now I know he's a real person. And now I know what I'm doing is killing him.
Yes. Yeah, she fully admits that he's his own independent living thing, his own sentient self with personhood. She admits it. This bothers me. So they're sitting there having this little heart-to-heart. Doorbell rings. In like, comes into...
I'm not sure if you were saying that Janeway actually acknowledging someone's humanity bothers you, or if that was Janeway being bothered there.
Well, nobody else's humanity but hers matters, but, you know, at least she acknowledges it.
Let's hold up for a second until, like, Vic gets back.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Apparently his house is on fire.
Don't really care. This is clearly more important. All right, well, let's pause. So, and XV can edit this out later, and I can make sure he does by saying things I'm not supposed to. I can start using people's real names and addresses. All right, so I'm assuming that we're paused. Penis, 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 goat penis. So how's everybody?
Sick.
But you're still soldiering on doing the episode, which is, I appreciate.
I'm not a heavy sick. I'm a light sick.
Oh.
And I got Combiner Wars Deluxe Groove in today.
Yay.
Where'd you go? A weird toy.
It is a weird toy.
Oh? Why?
It's hard to describe why it's weird, really. The scale is strange. The way the parts move and connect is kind of a little off.
It definitely feels like it was a different team. I mean, it definitely was a different team than the usual one, because it was a Takara originated design.
Yeah, in retrospect, thinking about Groove kind of explains a lot of the weirdness about the Blastoff they made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Though the Groove definitely seems to fare much better.
Yeah.
But I'm just clear plastic on a Combiner Wars figure just seems weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is kind of weird as you mention it.
Also, what's up with his instructions? It's on this cruddy paper, and is the print's kind of blurry?
I didn't even take him out of the box.
Mm. Oh my god.
I just went there and tossed it away.
But I will say, like... Groove is definitely a lot better than most of the other non-masterpiece Takara originated designs.
Like...
Oh, those incredibly ugly triple combiners.
Oh, ew, ew.
Let's see. The non-masterpiece stuff that Takara has done is mostly either smaller versions of older stuff, shell formers, awkward combiners.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, Takara only really excels taking a Hasbro product and making it better. Yeah, XV's been gone for a long time.
Yeah, we can kind of hang out. I mean, I don't have to be anywhere right this second.
If a fire alarm's going off and you don't just take the battery out and come back immediately, then that's slightly worrying.
He lives in a single-family home, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I suppose like an apartment or something, because if it's just like his house, then there's less chance of it burning down. But if it's like an apartment, it could actually burn down and not be as...
That is a fair possibility.
Right.
Like, I don't think he can use the microwave or the toaster in the kitchen because it trips fuses.
Oh. Well, as long as they trip, that's fine. When they don't, that's the problem.
No, actually, the toaster just electrocutes you.
Oh, thank God.
Oh. So you're alive. Good.
That should probably be fine until we can finish the episode.
If you would call this life. I mean, you know.
So did we finish?
No.
This was definitely tornado during the podcast that we could hear the siren from JD.
Well, I mean, you know, that was special.
Except I did hear the fire alarm going off. I didn't know what it was at the time, though.
Well, right, but I mean, that stopped, whereas the... I am still annoyed that XV was made to disconnect JD's from the call.
I'm not. I didn't want to hear him die on a live podcast.
The fire, it burns!
Poop all spinning in the air!
NTM! NTM!
Now, let's be fair. There is no way a tornado was going to lift JD off the ground.
Holy shit.
It's
an issue. Woo! So salty.
Okay, continue now.
All right, so we're at, on Netflix, we're at about 11:36 left.
Oh, I was going to say, we've only made like 12 minutes in the episode. That's
It just drags. No, we got 11:36 left. So this is when so Janeway and Chakotay are having a little heart-to-heart. Janeway is fully admitting that, oh, yes, Tuvix is his own person. He's a individual, self-aware person with rights and privileges.
I'm just going to ignore them.
Yeah. So anyway, so she's talking to Chakotay, and Chakotay says words, I assume. doorbell rings. Tuvix comes in and goes, oh, you wanted to see me?
And Janeway's like, yes. Yeah. Before I kill you, I want you to plead your case to me.
Yes. What can you do for me? She says, please, sit down. And he's like, I kind of feel like I'm on trial here, you know?
And Jim was like, no,
you're not. That would come with the... That would only happen if the outcome hadn't been decided yet.
Yeah.
That would presume you had any rights as an individual.
Yeah, if you lived in a just society, that would be true. Well, you're not in a just society. You're on my ship.
I'm Zara Janeway. I'm Captain Janeway.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's like the unfortunate predicament that we're all facing. Which I'm like, this is such bullshit boss words.
Yeah.
You know, oh, the predicament we're all facing? Right, yes, because you're the one that's like going to be sacrificed. Whatever. This is the part where Janeway just gets totally full of shit and I have no good feelings towards her at all.
Well, no. Yep.
It's perfectly in character for her, though.
Yes.
This is she goes full on evil here in the scene, basically.
Like literal evil. Like any philosopher who watches this episode goes, that is an evil act. I mean, that is the definition of evil. She is being evil. There's no good here. So she's like, yeah, sit down. I thought it'd be important to get your perspective on whether or not I should kill you.
Of course, I'm going to kill you.
Yes, but I just want to hear you grovel first. She's like, I am the captain of this ship, which makes me more powerful than God, really.
She says, you know, that, okay, basically, if you live, the other two die. Well, they're already dead.
Yes.
What you're talking about is killing this person to revive two people who have already passed.
Yes. By all logic, reason, and philosophy, that is the situation. They're already gone.
And her justification is, well, I have to speak for the dead people. No! That's not how this works.
No, exactly. They're dead. They have ceased to be. You kind of lose your rights and privileges when you die, right?
Well, that's why Janeway has to intercede on their behalf.
Oh, my God. Isn't it convenient?
Interfere on their behalf.
Right. And isn't it convenient that what they want happens to be exactly what she wants?
I know, right? That's just, it's perfect.
The dead. Yeah, isn't it going to work out a little too conveniently? Oh, my God. It's like, and she asked, aren't there two other lives to consider here? And he's like,
Tuvox?
Yeah, no. Two forces that we can't hear right now.
Because yeah. they're dead.
What are you talking about, Janeway? She's making this shit up whole cloth. And even he says, well, they are living. They're living in me. I wouldn't be me without them. They're kind of like my parents. I am a conglomerate of both of them.
He is literally made of their living DNA.
Yes. And she's like, they have families and friends and people who love them and people who want and miss them.
And, you know, there's Neelix also.
And Tuvix very rightly says, but restoring their lives means sacrificing mine. And he says to her, you're considering an execution. You're going to murder me. And Janeway goes, eh, whatever. Yeah, I don't care.
It won't matter once you're dead.
And, okay, she says, well, aren't you considering the execution of Tuvok and Neelix? No, he isn't. He isn't saying that at all. They're already dead. He is them. They're already gone. They died before he even existed. How can it be his fault? How is she trying to blame him for this? What a
bitch. It can't be her fault.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know whose fault this probably is? Harry's.
Yeah.
Well, it is, because he didn't fix the transporter.
No, just eyeballed. It's fine.
Yeah. So, kind of pats it a few times.
Tuvix is luck. They're lucky that they got Tuvix. the motion picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, can you imagine if that movie had materialized on that transporter pad instead of Tuvix?
Why don't we have an action figure of that?
Because Star Trek isn't Star Wars, unfortunately.
Because you could, well, in fairness, you can make your own with like beige colored Play-Doh, but whatever.
I don't know, the Playmate Star Trek line probably almost got to that.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, no, because they were too focused on the 90s stuff. They didn't really pay that much attention to like classic.
They made an Ilya figure.
Right, but I mean, anything that wasn't TNG or Deep Space Nine, especially. I mean, Deep Space Nine was practically a subline, too, for the most part, but, like, anything that wasn't modern was just barely covered.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so.
Poor Tuvix is arguing for his life. Go ahead.
And so Tuvix runs to go get Kes to help him, to save his life.
Yeah. This is like the most heart-wrenching. I mean, this poor person, this person is about to be murdered by a Starfleet officer, knowingly and willingly.
And so he goes to the woman he loves and begs her to save his life. And what does Kes do? She says, okay, I'll go talk to Janeway.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to Janeway and says, kill him.
Yeah. I want Neelix back, so screw this
Fuck.
Guy. And the thing is, Kes comes to Janeway like a child. You know, she doesn't know. She doesn't have the moral weight of this. She just is being selfish and saying what she wants. And Janeway just goes, well, okay, well, I'll just, you know, that's fine then. You know, you don't go to a three-year-old and ask them what they want for dinner and they get upset when they say ice cream, you know, or think that that's a legit answer. I mean, you know.
That is a legit answer, goddamn you.
All right, look here, Jigglepuff.
My fat protects me from your insults.
Too bad your fat doesn't protect you from your fat.
No, fat burns fat. It's a medical fact. Look it up.
Yeah, it's all brown fat. It's good fat.
What?
You know, it's like the brown fat, like your muscles use for energy. I don't know, some bullshit. So she's like hugging Kes, and Janeway looks, God, I cannot wait to kill this motherfucker. I mean, she's just getting, like, raunchy thinking about it. So Tuvix, you know, he's still on duty. He's still a person. Comes on the bridge and goes, oh, drop out of warp. I got to do some scans, you know, like my job.
I like as he enters the bridge, like, everyone gives him a look like they know what's about to happen.
Oh, they do. Everyone's treating him like the dog before they take him to the vet for the final time. Here you go, buddy. Here's a cheeseburger. I know you love cheeseburgers and we never let you have one, but here's one now for some reason. So, yeah, they all keep giving each other shifty glances, looking at Chakotay like, should we do what he says? And Chakotay's like, yeah, whatever.
He's still in charge for now.
Yeah, but he's not high enough rank to stay his own execution, conveniently.
Well, I mean, you know, when Janeway's around, nobody's that high of a rank.
Oh, this is so fucked up. Guys, this is so fucked up. So Janeway just staring at the stars thinking, okay, what's the best way to kill us? Do I kill him and then do the transporter? Do I use a knife? Do I strangle him with my own bare hands? Oh, I like that idea. I think I'm strong enough to crush his windpipe. So she stalks out emotions.
Or do I make a noose out of my hair?
Oh my god. She
no, it takes too long to braid it.
So this is where things get really effed up. This is the part I'm like, this cannot be happening on a Star Trek show. She comes out and goes, you need to come with me. Don't say a word, just come with me. And he's like, well, here it fucking is. If you have something to say, say it in front of everybody. And she doesn't even have the balls to
do it. A murderer.
Yeah. She doesn't have the balls to do it. You know, she's like, no, you need to come with me. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to walk into my death and let you just murder me. She's like, I'm ordering you. And he just, you know, as a living being, he goes, no.
And everyone else on the bridge is just watching, doing nothing.
This is
okay, to be fair, they're terrified that Janeway's going to kill them next.
Right. You know, Chakotay, I could probably split you into a human and your spirit animal.
There's no spirit inside Chakotay to split out.
Well, no, it'd just be a floating tattoo.
Now, you'd split Chakotay into, like, a potted plant and a uniform.
like a fern, like a boring one.
Yeah.
All right, nothing cool like a rose bush. So Janeway calls security because she can't do her own dirty work. She has to, you know, get people who are just following orders to come up here and drag this poor guy away. And he's running around the bridge begging people, don't let her kill me. Oh, my God, I cannot believe this is happening. And he tries to scuttle away. And she just stares at her coldly, staring at him, thinking, God, I can't wait for him to be dead finally. Oh, this is so heart-wrenching. I hate this. I hate this, guys.
I like that Tuvok has a moment of clarity where he realizes he can't win. So he's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to go out and all of y'all know what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He calls them out. Says, you're all good people doing a horrible thing because of her.
What this was missing was, like, as he's walking off, you're all good people and I forgive you. But then when he got to her, he needed to turn and say, I don't forgive you.
Yeah, he should have. Because what she's doing is beyond forgiveness. It's reprehensible. It's immoral.
Or just a, or I forgive you. Then turn to her. Not you, though.
Well, actually, I kind of like the, fuck you, you're cool, fuck you, fuck you, I'm out. So they lead poor Tuvix off the bridge. This is unbelievable.
But thankfully, we get back to the one good part of Voyager. The
doctor.
Refuses to take part in this.
Yeah. Even he, when your medical officer goes, this is immoral and wrong, Janeway doesn't bat an eye. She goes, well, it doesn't really matter. I've decided, and
I'll do it myself.
Give me the gun.
Yes. Holy crap. Yeah, and I like the doctor. He is a conscious objector, and he does it very well. But I kind of wish he would have, like, tried to stop her, and she had to, like, turn him off or something. He should have.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I really wish that he would have made Janeway that he would have just made it so that Janeway had to turn him off.
Agreed.
I get the feeling that had they had more time in the episode, they he probably would have argued longer.
Right.
But I got a feeling at this point it was just sort of cut down to
try to stop her.
I don't think he can.
Well, he's the medical officer.
Right. Because of course, then she'd just turn him off.
Yeah. Like she turns off every other person on the ship. Anyway.
Turn off Tuvix, so.
Yeah, permanently. So he just stares at her. She just stares in his eyes, injects him with the barium.
Okay, right before she injects him, they get the close-up shot of Tuvok just looking at her.
Yeah.
That shot is cold.
It's super cold. I can't believe this shit. I mean, I'm sitting here watching this episode going, I cannot believe this is happening in Star Trek.
We are putting out point blank that the captain is a literal monster.
Yeah, she's a murderer, cold-blooded murderer. And she just proved that she's willing to sacrifice any one of you if it meets her whims. Right, wrong, otherwise, if she just wants to do it, she just decides it. Well, then guess what? You're dog food now. Oops. And there he goes. He gets transported into oblivion. I love how Kim just goes, beep. He literally shrugs and hands her the hypo spray. Way to go, Kim.
He recognizes he's one of the least essential members of the crew and is likely to be next on her list.
Jesus. He's also just still thinking, thank God this wasn't me.
Although he's probably thinking, you know, I don't think anybody's realized yet that this is my fault.
Yeah, he's the guy who's like trying to keep it on the DL.
Uh-huh. If I just don't rock the boat, everybody will forget this happened, and I'll never have to take responsibility.
Okay. And also at this point, I watched the episode and realized there's a minute and a half left this episode. I'm like, wait a minute. Something doesn't feel right. So Kes jumps and just tonsil hockeys Neelix.
Oh, wait. I like when they split Tuvix apart.
Yeah.
That Neelix is wearing the same uniform.
Yeah.
They didn't do a cheap cop-out of having them beam into their regular clothes.
Right. They, like, duplicated the uniform around them, too.
Maybe you should have split the uniform between them.
Yeah. Both back halves are gone. It's like a hospital gown.
Or, like, they transport, but they're in the same uniform together.
It's like a sleeping bag. So, yeah, they transport. They're turning into two people, and Kes jumps up and snogs Neelix.
Everybody just kind of ignores Tuvok.
Yeah, Tuvok is like, okay, well, I'm here. Back to duty. And Janeway goes, hi, guys. No nothing. Good to have you back. No emotion. No nothing. And both Tuvok and Neelix are just kind of standing there just like they look traumatized. Janeway walks out stone-faced, doesn't say another word, walks out.
Cold-blooded killer.
Stops for 2 seconds and then continues walking like, oh, well, that was an uncomfortable moment of reflection. Good thing I'll never have one of those again.
I took it to be the pause of like, let's just enjoy this for a moment.
Yeah, she savored it.
That was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back to work. I think I'll get some coffee. Because that's my character's thing. Not tea, but coffee. And then she walks away. And that's it.
The month of hell has begun.
That's fucking it. That's it. There's no fallout, no anything from the crew about the hell they understand. Neelix and Tuvok don't say, oh, we're glad to be back. Thank you, Captain, for freeing us from this horrible prison of being one person. None of that. She walks out of there a goddamn murderer.
Future admiral, ladies and gentlemen.
Hell.
Well, that's why.
Yeah. You can't become an admiral in Starfleet unless you're evil.
Well, yeah, pretty much. As every episode's ever told us. Oh my god, guys. Oh, this is a good episode to start with hell. I thought this was going to be a hellish episode for a completely different reason.
Nope.
Oh, man. Terrible.
It's horrible in all the ways you would not expect.
It's horrible in the ways it was clearly meant to be.
Yeah.
Why did they write this episode?
Which usually is not the case for Voyager.
You know,
so I get the feeling they didn't realize how evil this was making Janeway. I thought they were making Janeway look conflicted and, you know, concerned. But no, it does not read that way at all.
Nope. They just made her evil as fuck. I mean, straight up evil. I mean, there's no philosopher anywhere here to go like, no, she made the better decision. No!
I think part of it is that she never really shows any
remorse.
Nope.
Well, no confusion about what she wants to do.
Nope.
She never, like, you know, talks out with Chakotay like, well, what's the right thing? I don't know.
Well, that's because Chakotay might have a different opinion than hers.
And she hates that. Oh,
he's not really—he's not allowed to. He's just supposed to repeat what she says, but in a deeper voice.
And see, that's the thing. Like, what I feel like is missing from this is conflict between Janeway and Chakotay over how to deal with Tuvix once the method of separation is identified.
Right. There should be some. Yeah, you know,
this were going by standard Voyager character tropes. Chakotay would have been totally against this, and he would have rebelled, and she would have told him to shut the fuck up and sit down. I'm in charge.
Yeah.
Right, but like the whole, like, it's notable that there's the absence of any input on this from Chakotay. As much as we joke about him being a non-character, like, the first officer of the ship should be consulting on this. It, you know, it's not a unilateral thing. There is two people in charge of the ship.
His job as first officer is to keep the captain in check.
Yeah, and any other series, we would have had that conflict about a decision like this.
Do you think Riker would have sat down with Picard did something like this? I don't think so.
Right.
He would have given him the what for.
But, I mean, Chakotay is completely sidelined for the entire episode.
Season. Series.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, like, part of it is, you know, it makes sense. They had to set up a lot. They had to do a lot before they got to the actual point of the episode to make you care about Tuvix. So that took away time to have more complexity.
Guess what? It worked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it did. I remember, basically, the first time I watched this, I was having all the same reactions you've had through this entire thing, Scott. I could not believe this was the resolution of the episode.
It
is so out of sorts.
I just can't get over it. I really can't get over it. I'm actually traumatized now.
Janeway will do that to you.
I mean, everyone jokes about, oh, Warlord Janeway, herpader, but this is like she was the villain. She did a terrible thing.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for it either.
Well, she wanted her Vulcan back.
Oh my God.
She missed his security reports. They were so thoughtful.
Despite the fact that Tuvix was, you know, better at it.
Better at it! Yeah!
And better at cooking.
Yeah.
Yes! And was, you know, a sentient, independent being with rights and privileges of being alive, which is what Starfleet's supposed to fucking stand for.
Even Chakotay said that basically he's better than the sum of his two parts.
Yes!
Uh-huh.
So what I'm wondering is, when they get back, so, you know, seasons later, when they finally get back to Earth and everything, there's this big data dump, and they get all the records and all of her logs, mission logs and everything.
Cold-bloodedly killed someone.
It's going to be weeks until they get to that point. You know, the other animals are going to be reviewing it. And they're all going to be
this?
Yeah.
We better give her admiralship.
Yeah, the admiral kind of goes, boop, Jane, Could you get Admiral Janeway on the horn? Oh, God.
So, Catherine, what would you think if we should do if we found a planet that de-ages you? What would be the moral thing to do with that? Should we take it over?
Well, yeah, we should take it over and use it for our own purposes, obviously.
Now, here's the thing. How quickly would they have gotten home if they didn't kill Tuvix?
Yeah, because, like, next week he probably would have just, you know, hung out in the engine room and figure out how to supercharge the engines. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was so much better at his job. Uh-huh. They could have, like, been so much better.
He would have figured out if they just turned and went backwards, they would have circled around the other side of the galaxy.
Yeah, well, yeah, the galaxy's circular.
It's that whole flat galaxy principle, right?
But, no, it's donut shape, right? It's toroidal.
Yeah.
Yeah, flat toroid.
Yeah, it's just like Sigil and Planescape.
What?
Black Galaxy Society.
D&D reference. Eh. Oh man, that was a hellacious episode.
Perfect.
You people are bastards for making me watch that. Now I'm like all sad and depressed, and I am really starting to understand why people hate.
Tuvix is an interesting episode because it's a shitty episode, but it's good enough to get you invested in it. And it has some interesting ideas, but it's still ultimately really terrible.
It's only a shitty episode because it's an episode of Voyager. In any other Star Trek series, this would be a brilliant episode.
Okay, I was promised a self-sacrificing character that would have done the right thing for the good of other people. But no, we got Murderer Janeway. Who killed someone against their will. What the fuck? I can't, man. I just can't. I can't deal. Can't deal with it.
JJ Verse doesn't seem so bad now, does it?
What would that version of Janeway even be like?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, she'd probably think so.
Well, she'd be younger and sexier.
Mm, oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's not difficult, is it?
Oh, damn.
Would it just be the Mike Nelson version of Janeway?
Terrifying. Oh man. So yes, that was that episode. So what's
what is next week?
Yes, I'm frightened to ask, but what's our next stop on the month of hell?
Well, let's do Drive.
Drive?
The Kamen Rider?
No, the episode where Voyager decides to participate in an intergalactic race for peace.
Oh, that makes sense.
By ruining it completely?
More or less.
All right, what season is that?
Seven.
Seventh season. Oh, wow.
But we're going, like, you know, in order of seasons.
No.
We're not. Okay. No, there's a much more refined methodology is being used here.
This is a different kind of terrible. This is more of a general Voyager terribleness.
Especially since it's season 7.
Yes, we're going to have a shuttlecraft race because that'd be exciting and fun for the crew and not a waste of resources.
Yeah.
And along the way, let's talk about Tom and B'Elanna's relationship a lot.
Oh,
that'll be
crap.
Fun as well.
Oh, I love it. Talk about two characters I never gave a crap about. It's definitely those two.
And all the rest of the cast of Voyager besides the Doctor.
Yeah, pretty much.
You don't like the snotty brat dating the spicy Latina?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought you were starting with B'Elanna when you said the snotty brat.
I was.
Oh, man. Well, we get to see Tom actually do some piloting, so that's kind of cool, right? Right?
Yeah, sure. You see that.
What is this in this episode? The, like, 7th or 8th Delta Flyer?
Probably.
Uh-huh.
I assume they just have a replicator that's shaped like a Delta Flyer.
Well, they need it eventually. Thing blows up more often than Krillin.
Oh no, Goku! Ugh.
But how does Krillin smell?
Terrible.
Oh!
Awful. Okay. Well, now that I'm deeply depressed, thanks, guys.